Hello, welcome to the Monday, December 28th, 2015 edition of the Sand Senate Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Over the holiday weekend, we had a couple of good diaries, and I would like to summarize them here so they don't get lost. The first one, which I think is really good and something you probably want to go back to the next time if you have a vulnerability in some obscure library, it's a diary by Rob about how to figure out what software uses a particular library. Now, for Windows users, there's a tool called Depends that you can use to list libraries. At least it does list the libraries that are initially loaded. It's possible that there are libraries being loaded later on at runtime. And in the comments, you'll find some hints on how to figure that out. For OS X, you have OTool, which is a tool that lists libraries. And then, of course, for Linux, we have tools like LDD or Android. Of course, also uses the same tools as Linux, just the Android version of it. So, like I said, something to bookmark, and next time there is another vulnerability in OpenSSL or whatever, you can figure out what software uses that particular library. And then we got a diary by Didier that's a little bit different from the usual sort of malware analysis diaries that he writes. In this case, he's writing about how to analyze malware that doesn't work. Now, initially, you may think, why do I care? Why do I want to analyze malware that doesn't work? I got enough malware to analyze that does actually work. Well, one reason you may want to do this is that the attacker may actually fix the malware and come back with the fixed version. So having broken malware gives you a unique chance to look at what's coming next. So Didier is looking at some static analysis tricks here that you can use to figure out broken malware. Popular online gaming system Steam by Valve had a pretty big meltdown over the Christmas holiday. Apparently, users upon logging in saw other users' account information, and I hear were in some cases even able to use, for example, credits being stored within the account. Now, according to Steam, the problem was a caching issue, and it's really one of those basic web application issues. In particular, if you add load balancers and the like in front of web applications and don't configure them correctly, my personal assumption here is that with the holidays, there was a lot of additional activity at the website, and that tends to bring up these kind of caching or load balancer issues, because now you have a higher probability of people actually ending up in each other's session if there are more sessions active. Common problems are that, for example, SSL session IDs are being used, and then SSL proxies are reusing the same SSL session, so people end up with the same session ID, or simple stuff like, for example, timestamps are being used as session ID, and by having a high volume, then you have multiple users being logging in with the same timestamp. Valve recommended not to use the Steam store until this particular issue is fixed. Not sure, I'm not a customer of theirs, so I'm not sure if they actually went as far as closing the store. And the Zen project apparently had an issue with one recent bug that was accidentally released prematurely on December 22nd. This bug is more a denial of service condition, so nothing super critical, but still, essentially what can happen here is that any guest system on a system being using Zen for virtualization can repeatedly log in to the host or launch login attempts, and with that cause a denial of service. The real issue, the news item here, is that in the past, Zen has been pretty good in making pre-releases of critical bugs to large hosting providers that rely on their platform, and also to the public. At least the public release was more that, well, there's a patch going to come soon. they were planning the same thing in this case, but what happened was that the actual patch, the fix for the vulnerability, was accidentally released to a public developer mailing list, and of course with that the nature of the flaw became known, and they quickly just released the patch normally. So nothing super critical for SEN users other than just apply this patch, but something that has been a problem with a lot of open source projects in the past, that it's difficult for them sometimes to organize the orderly release of these vulnerabilities. Well, and that's it for today. We still see plenty of attacks against Juniper systems, so hope you got them all patched now, and talk to you again tomorrow.